Amen. Today we're going to continue with our series from 1 John, and indeed we'll be talking about one important aspect of that being a sanctuary for Him. In the opening chapter or so, we were looking at this book is about authentic Christianity and what the authentic walk with the Lord looks like. In the second part, what the authentic gospel looks like. In part three, a warning about the competition, which is the world, which wants to divide our hearts. And then last time, about the changed life and what are the proofs in the changed life that indeed something has happened in us at the time of our salvation and that our faith is authentic. There is counterfeit faith. In fact, any faith other than actual, true, living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a counterfeit faith. It's a faith, but it won't get us to heaven, and it won't accomplish anything. And there's a lot of, Jesus said there'd be a lot of false teachers and false prophets in the last days. A lot of false teachings, a lot of false philosophies and ideas out there. And they produce a faith, but it's a fake faith, and it's not a faith that will save. And churches even need to be really careful that we keep not only the Lord Jesus Christ, the person, but the cross very, very much at the center of our teaching, because man is fallen, and outside of Christ, man is lost. And so we need to make sure that we have the authentic biblical faith. Now today we're going to talk about the hallmark, the unmistakable mark that should be upon every authentic child of God. We're in 1 John, and our reading today is from chapter 3, verses 11 to 23. And as always, I'll read the light print, I'll ask you to read the dark print, and I'll join you on that closing verse. Father, we thank you for the love that you have shown us. And we thank you for the love that you have caused to dwell in us now that we know, love, and serve, and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that this would be something that would be growing always in increasing measure in us, and that it would be that perhaps the first and foremost hallmark of the authentic faith that you have put in us. You loved us first, and because you loved us, we were able then to enter into relationship with you and love you back. And then you gave us the ability to love others. Take your word now. Use it in our hearts. This is an area where we all, by your grace, have made progress, but probably an area where we all, every one of us, still need to grow. Take your word, we pray, and use it in our hearts and lives today for the benefit of others and for your glory. This we pray in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Before we get into the message this morning, I'd just like to say a word of thanks. Of course, there's many who deserve thanks, but Marcy Comstock came in and worked in the office for a couple days for us this week, because obviously Becky couldn't be here. So she did the bulletin this time and printed it and also got those words ready that are going to be up there. And so she was up there yesterday, and Bill was up there, and she was working on it, and she was looking at this thing, and she said, this is the longest whatever, you know, that probably that's ever been done in the history of all your preaching. And here you've come and given it to me, you know, the one who's just filling in. So let's give Marcy a hand. I said, well, there's less blanks than there are a lot of times, and that's true. But I got a little bit wordy with those comments there. But anyway, if you're one of those who likes to follow along, take some notes, and have something to take with you, now would be the time to do that. So we'll start out this way. If there was a How many have heard of an IQ test? You heard of that? I was told one time that it means intelligence quotient. If there was a love quotient, where would you test on that scale today? You ever sit down and take about a 50 or 100 question test and then they tell you your personality profile and all that stuff? Huh? Anybody ever done that? Huh? And you go down there and they take a little blood and they put it in those little machines and everything and they say, oh, your sugar level is this and that and the other and you got this enzyme and that enzyme. They got ways now of testing all kinds of stuff. Suppose there was a love quotient. Where would our love quotient come in today? I'll guarantee you one thing. I don't know. I don't know yours and I don't know my own, but I guarantee you I know one that does know it. He knows exactly what it is. And he knows how much it needs to grow. So, John was big on this love thing. And if you want more background to what he writes in chapters 3 and 4 about love, because that whole block is pretty much about love, our love for God, his love for us, our love for each other, our love for others and all that. But if you want the background to that, then go to the Gospel of John and read chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, because that's where Jesus is doing all this teaching to the disciples the very night, you know, of the Last Supper, and between the supper and Judas arriving with the crowd at the garden, and that subject of love keeps coming up there in that passage. So if you read that and then you read this, then you realize this isn't a new teaching with John. This is something that, you know, that really touched his heart and that became, I don't know if it's true or not, that many say that perhaps John was the only one of the apostles that died a natural death. And it is believed that he probably did live to be in his 90s. And they say that the rumor is, you know, those are things you can't, that when he was that way, sometimes he was too weak and the young men would carry him to church. Not a church like this, but the meetings they had. And that different ones would speak. And that when it was his turn, he would just say, little children, love one another. So I don't know if that's how it was, but it fits. It fits what we know about John. He loved deeply. The night of the Last Supper says he's laying on Jesus' breast. That means he was right next to him there. He wanted to be close to the Master. And so he leaves us this part. It's taught in all the New Testament, but he leaves us this part in more detail and with more emphasis than any of the other gospel writers. So, at the top of this, I have what's, I believe it's going to be a key verse to what we're talking about today. And we have come to know, this is chapter 4 and verse 16, and we have come to know, now this is the know, gnosko, this is the know by experience, not just head knowledge. We have come to know and to believe, or to fully trust, the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. Now, let's go to point number one. And this, of course, is very, very elementary. But, hey, we never get away from the basics. Number one. Now, this is all rooted in John's teaching in 1 John chapters 3 and 4. Number one, God loved us first. You did not love God first. When you were born and when you were growing up, you did not really love God. You may have thought you loved God, but you didn't really love God. And we probably don't love him as perfectly as we should right now. But we have come to love him. But he loved me first. He was before everything. He made everything. He knew me before I was ever conceived in my mother's womb, and he already loved me before I was conceived in my mother's womb, and therefore God loved me first. And his love is the source of all true love. And his love is the only reason that I can love. So God loved us first. Our love for him is simply a response to his love. And so that's what he says. He says, in this consists love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. And in another place in the same passage of chapter 4, he says, we love him because he loved us. He first loved us. So God loved us first. And any claims we make about loving God are simply the result of his love for us. What he has already done for us. And so even if we love him with our whole heart, which we should, it's just a response to the love he has already shown us. God is the great initiative taker, and he doesn't wait for somebody else to love him before he loves them. And when sinners are lost, it will be because they refused his love as shown at Calvary, not because he doesn't love them. He's already loved them all he can love them. He's already loved you and me all he can love us, because he sent his son to take our sins upon himself and in his body on the cross. And there is no greater love than that. He loved me first. So, we love him, but we love him because he first loved us. Number two, God's greatest manifestation of his love for us was sending his son to be our Savior. Once again, love doesn't consist in that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. That word, that's a big word, but it means the payment for a penalty. The propitiation for our sins. And we all know John, who also wrote John in the Gospel of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he just gave everybody a general amnesty. Is that what it says? No. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. That what? That whosoever believes in him should not perish, be eternally separated from God, but have everlasting life. And by the way, this is agape love. And I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that. There are three Greek words that we translate love. Eros, which is just sexual, physical attraction, or some would call romantic love. And then phileo, which is the love that kindred that we feel for family, friends, loved ones, and mankind in general. And then there's the highest love, which only God himself can really, truly possess, and that is agape love. And whenever love is mentioned in relation to God, it's always agape. And it is what we are commanded to have for one another as believers, agape. But it is a God thing, and we're going to talk a little more about that. But this word agape is the word that is being used, and I checked in these two passages, 1 John 3:11-24, and 1 John 4:7-21, there are 28 verses in those two blocks of Scripture, and the word agape in some form, noun or verb, occurs 34 times in 28 verses. And it is agape love. God's greatest manifestation of his love for us was sending his Son to be our Savior. If you were lost, and when I mean lost, I mean sinking in the quicksand, and you were going to be gone in a few seconds, what would be the greatest act of love that somebody could give you? Throwing you a kiss? I don't think so. Reaching in and pulling you out. And we fail to understand. God cannot countenance sin. God is holy. God is perfect. God, no sin can enter heaven. And we have all sinned and we're all imperfect before him. So his greatest love that he can show to us is to save us. And after he saves us, he can show us his love in a lot of ways. He shows us his love by providing and by giving us guidance and by having his presence with us and everything else. But the first act of love is the act of salvation. And that takes us to number three. God's love saves and redeems. It takes me. How many remember the old song, Love Lifted Me? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. Then the captain, what was that? Of the sea, heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. What love? Agape love. What love? Calvary love. What love? The love of Christ hanging on the cross for you and me. That love is what lifted us. Not a benevolent Heavenly Father saying, oh, I love all of you down there. You just go ahead and have a good time now and do whatever you want to do. I love you no matter what. And that is one of the biggest misunderstandings of the gospel. That people just have this, you know, well, God is love, God is love. And then you have the cynic. Well, if God was love, we were talking about that in the class today, then he wouldn't allow suffering and all the other. No. God's love is that even though we've rebelled, even though we've sinned, even though sin is just a consequence of man's sinful actions and deeds, God loved me so much, he sent his own sinless, perfect Son to give his life on the cross for me. He died there, and he died because I'm a sinner. And he died because God didn't want me to stay lost. And the only way he could rescue me was by having somebody pay my debt, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so agape love, God's love, saves and redeems, and the starting point of God's love for us as sinners is Calvary. The place where the Lord Jesus was crucified. You want to know how much God loves you? Just get that image in your mind. I remember a brother down in Puerto Rico. He said, the Lord gave me a vision and I saw Jesus hanging on that cross. And I saw him with his arms extended out and I saw the blood dripping and I saw his love radiating right into my very being. That was his salvation experience. He saw it. And we need to see it. Until we see it, we'll never know how bad our sin is. And until we see it, we'll never know how much he loves us in spite of our sin. Number four. Here's the long one. Did you make it two screens, Marcy? Huh? Did you? You were talking about it. Okay, here we go. John makes it clear that our love for God and our love for each other are inseparably connected. The reason this is so is explained in chapter 4, verse 16. That is the verse I have at the top of the notes. And it is this. When we come to know, receive, experience and respond to God's love, His love, which is agape love, not our love. We don't have agape love. His love immediately becomes operational within us. With His love operating in us, it is completely natural that we would love our brothers and sisters from that day forward. And if we do not, that speaks to the fact that His love has yet to become operational in us, meaning we have not yet come to know Him. The reason we have such difficulty loving the unlovable is because we don't have agape love, or we are not operating in agape love. Agape love has no problem loving the sinner. Now, that won't save the sinner, but agape love is what sent Jesus, and agape love is what will cause you to show love to a sinful person and seek to be a light and a testimony to them and share the Lord Jesus Christ with them. That is what agape love will do for you. Not some warm, fuzzy feeling. That's fine. I love phileo love, and it's the Lord made that too, and it's for this realm, and it brings us a lot of joy, but it won't get anybody into heaven. And the reason we have such difficulty is that we read the Bible. Now listen to me carefully here. I'm like Charles Stanley. Listen carefully now. We don't naturally possess agape love. We may have a loving personality, a pretty nice disposition, get along with people pretty good and all of that, but we don't have agape love. That is supernatural. That is from God, and we only get it at salvation. So it has limits. And even after we become believers, if we don't realize that His love has been poured out in our hearts and that we have the ability, some things have a disable switch, like even a airbag, you can disable it. So we turn agape love off. And then we read that we should love one another. And then we strain. And we try. And we hear people saying, man, I have tried to love that person, but I just can't love that person. That's because you're not operating in agape love. That's why you're trying to love them the way that God says with your own phileo love, and you're not able to do it. And we should understand that that doesn't have those specs, to use an engineering term, and will not get the job done. It did not get the job done before, and it will not get the job done now that you are a believer. Your flesh will always be the flesh. It says that the flesh cannot submit itself to God, does not and cannot, it says in Romans 8. The flesh is still the flesh. In your flesh, you will never be able to love that person. You will never be able to love that person until supernaturally God works His love in you. And when that agape love begins to flow, it takes over and it takes over. And it is not an effort at all. It is His love. It is flowing. You will be able. The Lord is going to love that person through you. All you got to do is let that agape love flow. Have you learned something this morning? And it should be operational in us all the time. It becomes operational. It's ours the minute we trust Jesus. We get that agape love. But I think a lot of us don't understand that. And so here we are, still trying to love the old way instead of loving through agape love. And oh, is it hard? And oh, does it cause us difficulty? Because we feel guilty. We know we should love this person, and yet we don't. And hey, we have to be honest. Of course we have to be honest. I'm not going to say I love somebody if I don't love them. But the problem is, agape love hasn't kicked in yet. So when the agape love kicks in, you'll know it. You ever taken a certain pill and you know it a few minutes? But when agape love kicks in, you'll know it. And it won't be a strain and it won't be an effort, because agape love doesn't have any limit. Agape love, it doesn't have any boundaries. Agape love doesn't love only if it's loved in return. Agape love doesn't love only if the right conditions are met. Agape love doesn't love, it loves in spite of whatever. Think of yourself in relation to Christ. And what did his love do in you and in me? We were all born sinners, but we heard the message of the gospel, didn't we? And what did his love through Calvary do for you and me? It overcame. Did you hear me? It overcame. And when his love is operational in me, it overcomes. It overrides. That's another thing some things have, an override button. It overrides my little old prejudices. It overrides my selfishness. It overrides my narrow thinking. It overrides my natural little whatever. It overrides it, takes over. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. You love somebody through me today. Thank you, Lord. Now, we've got to be willing to let him do it. But how many believe he'll do it? He'll do it. If you haven't tried this, you try it. Say, Lord, put your agape love in me. Let's get this agape thing up to speed here. Huh? Let's put that fix-it thing on it like they do the computers. Let's get this thing. Let's get the agape love, Lord, that I would learn to walk in that love instead of my love. Because my love, hey, it's never going to get the job done. All right, number five. Love is shown by deeds. For God so loved the world that he... All right, somebody. He gave his son. Now, how did that start? Well, how did he give his son? We know the story. It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How did he give his son? How did he give it? How did it start? A little virgin girl got pregnant. A baby, huh? Yeah. And then the baby was born, and the baby grew, right? And then at age 30, he did his ministry, 3.5 years of ministry. He showed us the Father, as the Father has never been shown to us before. And then he gave his life for us on Calvary. And then on the third day, what did God do after he died? Rose him, brought him back. And now he's at the Father's right hand. And is he still working on our behalf? Every day. He's interceding every single day for every one of us. When we pray, do we pray in Jesus' name? Why do we pray in Jesus' name? Because he's the one getting it through. He's the one interceding. And he's still doing that for us. So God so loved the world that he did what? Gave. That wasn't a one-time $25 donation. Gave his only begotten son. So love is shown by deeds. God chose his love for us through the giving of his son for us and through his daily presence with us, once we know it. Our love for each other is shown in fellowship and in the practical ways we minister to each other. What does love look like? Well, as lofty as agape love is, and in spite of the fact that it's divine and we don't possess it and we can only get it from Him, when it comes time to show it, oh, it is oh so practical. What did Jesus do all day? Come on. When He was in His ministry, what did Jesus do all day? Was He sitting in a room meditating somewhere all the time? Now, He had His times. He went to the mountain, to the desert, different places to pray and be with His Father. But when He was ministering, what did Jesus do all day? Didn't He walk from village to village? Somebody would cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And what would Jesus say? "Bring him here. What would you like for me to do for you?" "Oh, Lord, I'd like to see lepers, blind, crippled, lame," on and on. Day to day, Jesus was ministering. He was ministering the word, but He was ministering how? In practical ways to people. Love is shown by what? By deeds. And ultimately, by going to the cross. What does agape love look like? It may look like, somebody shared yesterday, having soap suds up to your elbows in the dishwater. It may be carving out some time to go sit with that friend that's in the hospital and read them some scripture. It may look like just holding your tongue when otherwise you'd have something smart to say. You know, and some of us, no matter what's thrown at us, we can probably best it. But if we're believers, don't. That's not what agape love does. Anyway, but love is shown in what? Deeds. I remember reading, there was a little Gospel of John with comments for young people at a bookstore I used to go to down in Puerto Rico. Tell it like it is. And it had a picture of, you had the guy on the floor and he was sitting on him and pounding. Tell it like it is. And I was flipping through it one day and it said this guy, he'd go to the barber, and he was in there every couple of weeks for years, and he had always witnessed to him, always talked to him about his soul. He had been missing for a little while, and then he came back, and one day he was at it again. The barber was like, "I really don't want to hear all this and everything." And he said, "Well, the only reason I keep telling you is because I love you." "Yeah," he said, "I was in the hospital all those days. Where were you?" "Other people came to see me. Where were you? You say you love me so much." So love is shown in, what's the old saying? Actions speak louder than words. We don't have to be a hero. I've heard it said, one person walk in a room, don't see anything it needs doing. Somebody else can walk in the room and see all kinds of things that need doing. Some people actually will clean a room. Some people will just sweep the dirt under a rug. But agape love will see, what I'm saying is, agape love will see the opportunities. Do you follow me? And agape love, getting too proud to get on its hands and knees, get its hands dirty, sweat, or even undergo some pain. Jesus his agape love wasn't too proud to take the beatings and the slappings and the scourgings and the cursings. Love is shown by deeds. And my friend, if we can't show this kind of agape love to each other in the house of God, how in the wide world are we ever going to show true agape love to those that don't even know the Lord? What kind of double standard is that? Number six. Yeah, I'm going long. A manifest love for God . How many think Pat Davis loved the Lord? How did you know? Somebody said this morning she always had a smile on her face. Maybe not in earlier life, but after she really got right with God. But she always had a smile on her face. She was always here, wasn't she? Among God's people. Do you think she was trying to earn points by being in church? She was way past that a long time ago. She was in the house of the Lord because she loved being in the house of the Lord, because she loved the Lord. And she loved the Lord's people. Was she perfect? Could she speak out of turn now and then? Maybe, like any of the rest of us. Come on now. But how did you know she loved the Lord? Because it was so evident. In the things she did. And in her actions. Both of being here and then so many other ways. If we've got that kind of love, I mean, Jesus said too. I mean, he said, don't hide your light. Right? What's one of the biggest ways our light shines if it isn't through this agape love? How else is it going to be? So, a manifest love for God and our demonstrated love for each other still constitute our most powerful witness to the world. Do you want to win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ? Show them how much God loves them by loving them yourself with his agape love and by loving your fellow brothers and sisters. And by all means, perish the thought, God forbid, I hope it never happens, I don't know if it ever happens, but may it never happen, that we go to bellyache about other Christians to somebody that isn't even a believer. So, we love the Lord. Who loved first? He did. We love him. Now that we know him, his love is in us, flows through us. And his agape love is operational. And is going to love our brothers and our sisters. When we could not in the flesh. And again, the flesh never will. Forget that. But we'll love our brothers and sisters. And we'll love that lost person enough to go to them, minister to them, love them in practical ways, and win them for the Lord. And Pat did that. She did it on more than one occasion. And that's how we really prove our love for the Lord. And that's how we duplicate ourselves. And that's a big part of what being a Christian is all about. It's still the best advertisement that we've got. We can have a lot of things right. And if we don't have that one right, that's too big a hole. It's got to be filled. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you this morning, and we know how weak we are. We know how easily we're upset, how easily we're offended, how easily we can feel slighted, and so much more. How quickly we can become critical and judgmental or want to separate ourselves from somebody. Oh, Lord. We individually, we need an outpouring of your love. We need to experience anew that agape love wherewith you have loved us and which we experienced at least at one time at Calvary. Oh, Lord, renew that agape love in us. You know our need. You know that we're empty on our own. But hey, empty things are just waiting to be filled. So, fill us today with your agape love. And if we need filling again tomorrow morning, fill us again tomorrow morning. And if we need filling again on Tuesday morning, fill us again on Tuesday morning. But fill us with your agape love and help us to start operating in that. And not depending on our other natural love to get us through it all. Thank you for the people you've put in our lives, but Lord, help us to love them the way you would, to relate to them the way you would, and to be the blessing to them that you would be. We ask these things in Jesus' name, the one who loved us the most. Amen.